right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. Today's show comes to you during an increasingly perilous situation. And I'll just say it right now, the situation is bound to become more perilous each week for a while. At the back end of the show, we'll hear some of the voices from the Saturday, October 24th, nationwide mass assemblies to organize protest and demand Trump-Pence out now. We'll hear statements from people held in ICE concentration camps, read by activists at the Los Angeles Mass Assembly. Before that, we'll be talking with Michelle Chai with Refuse Fascism, Los Angeles, and we'll be talking about the rolling coup being carried out by the Trump-Pence fascist regime as they continue acting to steal the November 3rd election before it's even held. And we'll talk about the importance of acting now before the theft of the election is complete. And opening the show up, we'll hear a speech by Andy Z, a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism and an advocate of the New Communism by Bob Avakian. He talks about the catastrophe that will be the result if Trump stays in office and what it will take to drive out the Trump-Pence regime. This speech was given October 24th in Los Angeles.
Listen, all of us, we who are gathered here today are the catalysts. We're the spark plugs, we're the triggers, we're the inspiration and the magnets and the organizers of what must become hundreds and thousands and millions who take to the streets day after day in nonviolent mass protest, who, by our words and by what we do and say and what we put on the line, that not one more day must this regime of white supremacists, of anti-woman, anti-LGBTQ theocrats, of xenophobic torturers of children and families, of police state bullies and murderers, of genocidal racists and anti-science lunatics who are killing the planet and hundreds of thousands of people by their arrogant ignorance, no longer should they be allowed to rule this or any other country. There ought to be a golf course in hell with a never-ending sand trap for such people. I want to leave you here today with two points to think about and to act on. First, the Trump-Pence regime intends to stay in power by any and all means, including stealing the election. And should they succeed, it will be a catastrophe for humanity. And I do not use the word catastrophe lightly. The recognition of this is what brought you here today. Second, the second thing you must leave with today from this talk, the second thing you must leave with is that we must act now. Others have spoken of this. We must not wait until the regime actually steals the election, but be in the streets now, putting before the whole world the horror that this fascist regime is bringing and the rightness of our cause, and acting in every way we can nonviolently to stop it. To stop a coup, you need to act before it is carried out. We cannot defeat this. Rather, I meant to say, if we can defeat this, if we dare to face the truth of that and to organize ourselves to meet this threat. Coups can be defeated, but not by pretending they don't exist, but only by sounding the alarm in ways that people will not ignore and then preparing people's minds and organizing them to act accordingly. So leave here today committed to act in creative ways that provoke masses of people to not turn away, but be inspired to act themselves and to organize others to join us and to be a part of the mission of the Out Now movement, which is, again, to act together and sustain mass protest to do what? To demand what? Trump-Pence out now. We must vote in big numbers. But if that is all we do, the outcome will most likely be disastrous. We need to put our hearts, our minds, and our bodies on the streets. We have 10 days. 10 days in which it is not an exaggeration to say that the struggle over the future of humanity will go into high gear. And that fight has begun. We are now in the midst of a rolling coup, a step-by-step theft, the grabbing and stealing of an all-out, blatant dictatorial power without any semblance of democratic or civil liberties by the Trump-Pence regime. This will mean a qualitative change in the world that we, that you, that everyone lives in. Right now, they are doing everything they can to deny, to purge, to make as difficult as possible, and failing that, to intimidate those who they fear will vote against Trump, Black, Latino, Native American, and many others. If on election day, or the day after, if Trump is behind, or he loses, the regime has said outright, and they have shown in what they are actively doing, that they will do anything and everything to complete their coup and to steal the election. They will bullshit, creating the facade of going through procedures of counting votes, while in reality they will be working to disqualify votes. They will be sowing doubt and issuing threats from Trump, while their thugs take to the street. Their Trump card, and quite literally so, is this nomination of Amy Coney Barrett that's scheduled to be rammed through the Supreme Court this week. Because their plan is to take this disqualification into the state legislatures, into the county boards, to then take it to the courts that they pack with fascists, and then go all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they have now secured a majority to ram through this election and bring about a theocratic fascist America. They have packed these courts with judges who want to return outright to the original Constitution, which objectively ratified slavery, didn't consider Black people human, didn't give women any rights, and in fact justified the theft of the land and the genocide of the native peoples. This is what originalism actually is. The theft of the election is not just after Election Day. It is, as I said, underway now. But do not think that Trump might not win an election that he has already begun stealing. Do not be drugged by these opinion polls. Such a result would still be illegitimate and must be opposed. Fascism, all that has been experienced at the pain of cages, at the pain of concentration camps, all that has been experienced over the last 4 years is always illegitimate. And fascism is always illegitimate when it is brought to power, whether by fair or fraudulent means, and it's already been fraudulent. This, too, is another reason why Refuse Fascism and the Trump-Pence Out Now movement are calling for people to be out now every day. I began by saying that if the Trump-Pence regime remains in power, it will be a catastrophe for humanity, perhaps our very survival. Look, the world is in great turmoil now. Big power rivalries are sharpening. Regimes all over the world are facing acute crises, not the least of which is the COVID pandemic. It is unconscionable and of acute danger to have a pathological narcissist with no capacity for empathy who espouses a genocidal racist program to have his finger on the nuclear trigger with the capacity to incinerate the world. More, this anti-science regime that will likely soon include a Supreme Court justice who, along with Trump and Pence, denies the science of global warming, which would, if they remain in power, foreclose quite possibly the potential of slowing or reversing global warming and burning and drowning and the suffocation of life on this planet. The stakes are that high It is an existential moment for humanity. The heart of the fascist program are three things: white supremacy, the hatred of immigrants, and the assertion of the most toxic male supremacy and subordination of women and differently gendered people through a theocratic fascism and form of patriarchy. And I will say this: what we have seen so far from this regime is but the tip of an iceberg should they remain in power. This is something everybody has the responsibility to contemplate and to think about and to act then accordingly. Donald Trump is, as the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian has said, a genocidal racist. Mike Pence is no different. Mike Pence and the movement that he leads takes the Bible literally. This is a Christian fascist movement that would impose a Handmaid's Tale on the humanity of women and LGBTQ persons. And maybe the sisters over here in those handmade costumes can stand up for a minute. This is real. This is who they are. This is what drives the movement that celebrates vigilantes who murder people fighting for black lives, and so that black people are not routinely and wantonly gunned down in the streets by police and disproportionately killed by the COVID virus. What kind of depravity, deliberately as a matter of policy, orphans, little children, 545 immigrant children torn from their parents who were seeking asylum from the horrific conditions in their countries that were largely made by what this country does around the world and in Latin America. And now they can't locate their parents. This is not a bad policy. This is not inhuman. This is torture, straight up. On top of the tens of thousands in concentration camps, detention camps on this side of the border, and the most horrific conditions in asylum and concentration camps on the other side of the border as the Trump-Pence regime throws people across the Rio Grande as so much human refuse. No one should accept this. There is no election that can or should tolerate this. And to be complacent in the face of this, to fail to act in the streets, to not do more than just vote, is to be complicit and to collaborate in a great crime. Yeah. And this is not just invective and drama for a talk. This is real, very real. And it's going to get acutely real should we fail to act and do what we have to do. Then this is why we say, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. That is what we stand for. Living this is what we must do and what we must be. We are not standing out here, the few of us today, to look good for ourselves, for our group. This is not about us. This is about the world. This is about humanity. When stakes are that high, you can't be worried about how few you are, but know when you're right and that you reflect what people are actually experiencing and feeling deep in their heart that they don't want to acknowledge, that you have to stand on that, and maybe the people will come if you continue to fight hard enough. And in any case, it is the thing you should do if you are to be a human being. And as I said, we are here because Trump is already stealing the election. We need to vote, but Trump will not be stopped just by voting. We are standing together to put our hearts and our minds and our bodies to this task, to the cause of planning, to protesting and organizing to drive a regime from power. And I have said that we are in a rolling coup, a coup that is coming to a head through the election. So what do we do, and when do we do it? Coups, which are the theft of power, are stopped, one, when people plan and when they act before the coup. And two, when people act together in the streets, forging the unity and determination through the hard work of waking up society to what is required in addition to voting. And three, and most importantly, in so doing this, in being out every day, we establish before the world the righteousness of our demand. Through our words, and most importantly through what we do, we put forward a poll that represents, that concentrates the reality that millions of people feel in anguish about, and demonstrates in word and deed what must be done if justice is to prevail in the regime that is bringing a great disaster down on humanity. The people here all around the world is removed from power. This people must see from what we do, and they must see it now. They must see it going into the election. And let me ask you this, is that not what Refuse Fascism did in front of the Supreme Court, putting on those handmaid's uniforms and at the women's marches all around the country? The brutal women life denying Amy Coney Barrett, that Aunt Lydia, when that was put before the world. And what you did and what the women here who are wearing those uniforms did is still sitting in people's minds. Do not be deterred by what the immediate response is. People are having to live with you representing the reality that is to come. And the same goes for the cages. The next 10 days really can count to put the poll of Trump Pence out now on the map, to compel, to inspire people to see that voting is not enough, to recognize that waiting until Trump actually moves to steal the election will weaken the forces of resistance, to see that if we start acting now, our side can gain initiative. We can be the story in the news now, rather than Trump's lying bullshit and QAnon COVID spreading rallies. This is what people need to see. We're not telling anybody not to go out now and organize people to vote and to help them get to the polls and to make phone calls. But if that's all you do, the story is these fascists on the news. There's no heart for our side. All of you here and what we have done is giving that heart and seeping into the conscience of people. And don't underestimate the effect of this. And yes, what we're going to do today is talk about why we're doing this, how to do it, and how to get prepared for the next 10 days. We need to awaken and organize, as I said, hundreds and thousands to act now. Look, we cannot predict what will happen tomorrow or next week that could cause masses of people to pour into the streets. You don't know that, I don't know that, and the people who say it's not time don't know it either. We cannot even say for sure that people will act if and when Trump moves to steal the election. But what we can say is that if we don't prepare now, if we don't act now, that will weaken and politically disarm people to understand the enormity of what we face and why voting alone will not be enough. The handmaid's protest, the cages, the kids' shoes are all part of disturbing the air, making people confront what is happening in their name. And all this must be tied back to the demand of Trump Pence out now. We also have to dramatize, and we have to act to defend the right to vote right now, and not let those who in their camouflage costumes and their very real weapons have threatened and murdered people for protesting to demand Black Lives Matter. We cannot allow these people to come out and intimidate people from voting. We must not let them sabotage and suppress the vote in counties where people like this live. This too, today, is preparing for the struggle that will come should he steal the election. If and when the Trump-Pence regime, with the backing not only of their MAGA thugs, but of the Republicans and state governments and the courts across the country, move to steal the elections, our struggle will include protesting and uniting with the demand that they not be allowed to disqualify and deny the votes that are for Biden. But the struggle to remove this regime cannot just be reactive to the moves of the Trump-Pence regime and the response of the Democratic Party of Biden to that. We, who represent the interests of the people of this country and around the world, must act in our interest, which is that the Trump-Pence regime must go. That is not negotiable. There is no compromise with four more years of a fascist America. For that will be a horror for humanity. Think about this. This is very important. We cannot just be reactive to what the Trump-Pence regime does and the reaction of that to that by the Democrats. You saw what that brought in the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. They rushed it through. The Democrats said, we don't have the vote. They hardly put up a fight. They raised some questions to do some exposure. And then they said it's a foregone conclusion. Well, I said this before, I'm going to say it again, it's not even in this written speech. But just imagine if there had been tens of thousands of people on the Washington Mall and in city squares all through that nomination, how might things have turned out differently? And I'm going to tell you this, it won't be any different if he steals the election and they say, let's let this county board decide, let's let this court decide, let's stand in front of this place, which we of course should do, and force them to be honest, shine the spotlight on them. But if we don't get out there and fight in our interests, which are the interests of humanity, to demand the Trump-Pence regime must go, they must be gone from power, and we will not be just reactive, we will be proactive. Proactive for the people of the world. So I'm going to close where I began. The Trump-Pence regime will be a catastrophe scarcely imaginable. They are stealing the election now. And we must intensify our efforts to make these next 10 days really count before the election and send a beacon far and wide that now is the time to act and not stop taking to the streets until this regime is gone. Say with me, in the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. In the name of humanity, we refuse to accept a fascist America. Now let's get busy and get to work. Thank you.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and we've just heard a speech by Andy Z, a co-initiator of Refuse Fascism and an advocate of the new communism of Bob Avakian. We're going to take a musical break and hear a special song. This is Christo Fascist by Art Bergman, featuring the legendary Wayne Kramer on guitar.
Was better than this. with Nazis, putting kids in cages, bringing on the rapture, prosperity gospel. Do you see that cop shooting blacks in the back? Taking Jerusalem, bringing on the rapture. Nothing else matters. Christo fashion, doctrine of Genesis, for his direction. And it's failed. The perfect.
That was Christo Fascist by Art Bergman featuring Wayne Kramer on guitar. And be sure to check out the video directed by Thor Henriksen on YouTube. It's an intense and very relevant work of art.
Only someone worse than a fool would want that racist, Confederacy-loving, white supremacist, pussy-grabbing, misogynistic, male supremacist, LGBT-bashing, rights-trampling, science-denying, environment-destroying, war-mongering, xenophobic, America-first, blood-sucking, fascist motherfucker Trump to get reelected.
All right, that was words of wisdom from Bob Avakian, all right? Really, actually, very meaningful words and things that we have to be thinking about all this time. And Bob Avakian is the chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, and he's one of the he's a leading revolutionary in the world, all right? Someone who's actually given his whole life to making sure that humanity can break free of all this horror that we're forced to live in. And don't tell me we ain't living in horror, because we see it day in and day out, all right? What happens to people? What happens to women? What happens to black people? What happens to people, Latino people? What happens to people who have, you know, they're not able to walk? All these kinds of things. What happens to people who aren't considered the valuable people in society? Think about that. Think about what we're living under and what we got to change, sisters and brothers. We're confronting a very important time in development. We're sitting on the edge of fascist rule. This has been brewing for quite some time, and the time now is dangerous for most of humanity. We have a Nazi in the White House, and he's pulling together his fascist rule. And as part of this, he's calling into motion all of those Hitler would-bes to back him up as he puts into motion his plan to steal the upcoming election and strengthen his moves to establish all-out fascism. And the big question that we have to deal with, sisters and brothers, the big question of us, for us, is what the hell are we going to do about the situation today? And here to talk with us about this, What's happening and what do we need to do in the face of this is Michelle Chai from Refuse Fascism here in Los Angeles. Welcome back to the show, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to hear you. Okay, nice having you. Talk to you later, all right? Bye. I knew I'd get that laugh out of you. And that's one of the few laughs we'll get here, all right? Why don't we start by you telling people that right off the top, what are we talking about in terms of the situation right now? What's going on and why is it so dangerous? You know, we're talking about having this event tomorrow, but I think people got to get rooted in what the hell is going on and why is it so dangerous?
Yeah, no, I think your introduction was really important because we are actually in the middle of like unprecedented times. You know, this, a lot of people say, you know, and very righteously, right? They say that this is the most important elections in our life. And it's true. You know, it's, you know, we aren't actually in the midst of a rolling fascist coup. You know, let's just call it for what it is. Donald Trump is working towards and already is making moves towards stealing and destroying the election. Let's just call it for what it is. It's an illegitimate confirmation hearing of Amy Coney Barrett, who is a Christian theocrat who wants to make her Christian fascist beliefs into actual law. And that's part of the fascism. But more than that, it's ramming through Amy Coney Barrett into the Supreme Court in this moment is actually a part of Donald Trump's plan to stay in power. You know, should he lose the election, having her and a fascist Supreme Court that can just throw the elections to Trump should he lose, you know, should he contest it, which he already is by calling these elections fraudulent, by mobilizing these fascist militias to be quote-unquote poll watchers, which basically means intimidating Black and Latino voters in Democrat-run cities. Like, we're already seeing that, and we know that this regime is actually, you know, again, in the midst of like a rolling coup. Again, we're heading into a really very intense moment into these elections. And he's already made very clear a number of times that if he loses the election, he's not going to leave. You know, he refuses to accept the peaceful transfer of power, him and Amy Coney Barrett, and has told his supporters, fascist militias, the fascist thugs, to stand by and stand back. That's nothing more than having them kind of, when he says go, just go. And this is, you know, again, very dangerous times. And yes, you know, people should vote. You know, we need to vote in huge numbers. And a vote against Trump is a vote for Biden, because Biden is actually not in the midst of implementing a fascist genocidal program, you know. But it's not enough. A vote on its own is not going to stop Trump. We actually have to be in the streets, you know, and not just waiting until November 3rd and until all of this kind of gets really out of hand, but like right now. And this is part of what a Saturday is actually, you know, working towards, right? It's assembling those people, right, that even in a very basic way recognize this and see that this is a really urgent situation and are sickened by this. You know, I mean, even last night watching the debates when Donald Trump was, when they were asked about this, 545 parents that have been separated from their children and they can't even locate now, which means, I mean, just think about that. Your child, you're 5 years old, coming to a whole new country. And even for me, like going to kindergarten for like 4 hours away from my mother was like horrible. You know, I was in tears. Now imagine a child that's separated from their parents and they can't even locate them. And Donald Trump's response to that is good. He very blatantly said that's good. And this is a part of a whole genocidal program. He's not just saying these things, he's moving on them, and it's costing actual lives. It's costing actual people suffering through this, losing their lives through this, his handling of COVID, his going forward with this fascist police state, like Black and brown people being murdered in the street every day like animals, and these cops not even being prosecuted for it, but instead being praised for it and treating anybody who goes out into the streets as criminals and thugs, the way he described Black Lives Matter movement, the way that he's continuing to like paint a picture of like these people are looters and criminals, to mobilize his fascist followers to actually go after these protesters. So all of this is not just a bunch of bad policies. He's not just a racist. He's a genocidal racist. This is a part of a whole fascist program. And again, not just bad policies, but a different form of rule. And this is what we're approaching coming into these elections. And this is why it's very critical that people actually act now. Been talking to a lot of people and they're kind of like, well, everything that you're saying kind of sounds like we can't do anything about it. Is this like... And I keep coming back to, actually, no. This is why we actually have to mobilize people in the streets now, you know, before the election, to actually assemble those people that recognize this, to call on more people. You know, a small number of people in this moment acting with this right understanding can have a huge impact. There was a handmade contingent, women dressed in handmade tail outfits in front of the Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearings out in D.C., and they were arrested. And at the Women's March, we had both in L.A. and in D.C., we had contingents of women dressed as handmaids to kind of bring forward this Christian theocrat future that is ahead if this regime is able to consolidate their power. You know, this had impact. This went to the national media. You know, this got picked up by, like, everywhere on social media and the media. People are seeing this. And a small number of people acting in this moment right now and actually, you know, with the right understanding and calling on people the way that I'm calling on your listeners right now. You know, everybody is being called for on this because of everything that I am laying out of the moment that we're in and why there is an urgent need to act now.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of times people don't even see this fact that Trump is trying to steal this election and why that's happening. And it is true. What you're saying, these are pretty high stakes in play right now, and people need to recognize this and act accordingly. And I think that calls on people to actually become active in ways that maybe they have not been active before, in arenas that they haven't been active before, in talking to people that they may not have even let know that they're thinking, hey, this is screwed up. This stuff is really bad. And they're actually in there. And, you know, Trump and them are trying to basically set up a fascist government that is going to be could lead to the death of the entire planet. When you look at this thing with what this fool is about to do, he's a Nazi, and people got to recognize that. But they also got to recognize a couple of other things. That is what it means for that to be there like that. And also what's required from those of us who are out here and understand what's going on now.
Yeah, I think that's really important because, look, we are calling on people to assemble. But I think it's, you know, everybody has a role to play in this. The basic thing is, like, again, the argument that I made, you know, a minute ago of, like, what are the stakes that are involved right now, you know? And we're recognizing that if we're being silent and passive in the face of this, we're being complicit. And now that doesn't mean that everybody has to, like, be everywhere 24/7 and nonstop, you know? That means that we have to bring together right now people, very basic people, you know, people that, I mean, your listeners, I'm sure, are more aware of what is happening. But, you know, we're going out very broadly, you know, to those like your listeners, but also those just regular people, you know, who haven't even had any experience in political life, who haven't been activists, but who recognize or can be one to recognize that this is a very urgent moment and there is a need for them to act. And we're organizing grassroots organizers, like people that can spread this in a way. You know, just a really important example of this was, like, you know, we did this cages action a few weeks ago to kind of, you know, a dramatic visualization of what is happening to immigrant people. And now there's, like, even more exposure of this coming out, right? But at the moment, we reached out to a lot of people, you know, and there was different people like actors and students and high school students and attorneys who actually went and reached out to their networks and brought out people for one day, for a few hours, to volunteer to be in the cages, you know, to show people and, like, you know, shock people out of this passivity, out of this normalization, right? And they contributed very importantly, and, you know, and they were just out for like an hour or so, but they were able to reach out to, you know, their network. And I think at this moment, there's a lot of people that may be sitting at home and maybe seeing these debates and maybe seeing everything that Donald Trump and this regime are doing. And they might be sick into their stomach, but they might just be told, all you got to do is vote. And all you got to do is just wait until November 3rd. But they don't know that we actually have a vehicle here, you know, and Refuse Fascism in this Out Now movement to act now, to not just wait. Yes, we need to vote again, you know, but we actually have to get out into the streets now. Voting on its own is not going to actually stop this. We have to mobilize those millions of people to get out into the streets now to actually call this out for what it is. It's illegitimate. And that's one thing that really does have to come through when this confirmation hearing, when everything that Donald Trump is doing is being legitimized. Mm-hmm. There has to be a force out there that is saying this is illegitimate and that changes how people even see things, you know?
Right. Now,
This is the Michael Slate Show, and we're speaking with Michelle Chai from Refuse Fascism Los Angeles.
Let me ask you this, all right, because this is something that I really think is very important. And, you know, Michelle, it's part of, you know, what you've been saying has been extremely important, I think, for people to hear. What could people, why should people come to this event on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I think that's really important. Saturday is, you know, an assembly to unite people very broadly, right? To get united, right, and organize for the last 10 days before this election and act now during this time to compel many more people to get out into the streets to stop this. Again, this is not all set in stone. The impact that people can have in this moment is really important. And the missing piece in this equation right now is the people in the streets, you know, in massive, sustained, nonviolent protests saying this has to stop. Yes, the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett as a part of this destroying the elections, but this whole fascist regime has got to go. And, you know, and again, they've made it very clear that they're not going to leave if they lose the election. You know, what would transform that equation if there were people in the streets saying no, saying this is illegitimate, saying they have to go, and we're going to stay here in the streets in mass, sustained, nonviolent protests to demand Trump Pence out now. And as a part of that, we have 10 days. You know, on Saturday, tomorrow, there's 10 days left until the election. We have to really be out there every day. And we really have to go and, again, get the word out to those people that don't know about this and activate those people that find out about this. You know, in very basic ways, again, we're organizing people, you know, to be grassroots organizers, to let, you know, for this to actually get out in a big way, to let people know that they're in these public squares, this is where people should come to. On the night of the elections, before the night, you know, before the elections, people need to converge there. And we'll be going out into the streets and marching, but we'll be coming together and getting organized and getting into this. This is a really intense moment. And coming together and actually talking about what's happening, coming to an understanding of this and going out into society and bringing people this understanding is very critical. You know, there's some thinking around another CAGES action coming up this week around these 545 parents that have been lost or basically, you know, separated from their children. And so we want to do another action with the CAGES. We want to keep going out with the Handmaid's Tale outfits. We want to be thinking about bold and creative actions that puncture through this normalization, that shock people, and that very invitingly, you know, bring people into this movement. And so there's lots of planning to do. And we're calling on people, their ideas, their thinking. We want to hear it. You know, we want people to be a part of this, to come together, meet other people, and get this out to people. You know, we're going to go out and we're going to bring these organizing packets to people that are seeing this, that, you know, every time we march, we see people going, putting their fists up and saying yes. And we don't want to leave them with just saying yes. We want to activate them into this movement, you know, in very basic ways. Again, if you have a friend that you've been talking to this, you know, you've been talking about what's been happening and you're both sickened by it. Tell them, come with me, and have them call other people. You know, this needs to be people coming together right now, planning this to go out and reach more people.
Mm-hmm. All right, Michelle, we're going to have to wrap this up now. And one thing I wanted to end with, and you can comment on this if you want, but I really need to just, you know, just put this out here because there are consequences, sisters and brothers. There are consequences if the fascists are not defeated. If fascism fully takes hold in the most powerful country in the world, this could lead to a catastrophe from which humanity may not be able to recover ever. This is hellified and should not be allowed to go on. And you have a role to play in this. All right. Would you like to say anything on that?
Yeah, I just think that's really important. Yes, we do have to act now. We're facing something that might be irreversible, you know? Mm-hmm. And This is, again, the stakes for humanity and the planet literally are hanging in the balance. And we have to act now. And you have a role to play in it. Even if you can't be in the streets every single day, there is a role for you to play in this.
All right. Thank you very much, Michelle. And I look forward to talking with you again very, very soon. All right?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care now.
All right, that was Michelle Chai from Refuse Fascism Los Angeles. We're going to take a quick musical break and be right back, so stay tuned. Now we're going to hear voices from the October 24th Refuse Fascism Mass Assembly in Los Angeles. We'll start off with the introduction by Duck of Refuse Fascism, and following him, we'll hear activists reading statements from refugees being held in ICE concentration camps.
We're going to make some noise in this city. We're going to build it up. We're going to let them know that we're not going to take this. Understand that. Didn't come here to pacify it. Didn't come here to have a picnic. We come here to let people know Trump out now. Trump out now. Raise it with me. Trump out now. Trump out now. Trump out now. Oh, I don't hear you. Trump out now.
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 I am from Choluteca, Honduras. The date of my birth is as such, I am 17 years old. I am the mother of a child who was born also in Honduras. I am the older sister born on Exxon date. She is 8 years old. I am currently detained in Ursula Processing Center together with my three-month-old daughter and sister. I entered the United States with my daughter and sister by boat June 3rd, 2019. We encountered immigration officers just after we crossed the river and were taken to a detention center where we stayed most of the day. We were given ham sandwiches. We all are familiar with that. Oh, and juice, more sugar. There was a jug of water, but the water tasted like dirt. We were taken to the Ursula Processing Center around 11 p.m. or midnight. We had been detained at Ursula for 8 days and have not been told anything about what's next to come. I am a breastfeeding mother. 2 days ago, I had fever and a sore throat. I didn't want to get my baby ill, so I tried giving her formula. The formula gave her diarrhea and had returned to breastfeeding. We have been staying in different cages here in Ursula with other females. We have then thin mattresses to put on the floor to sleep during overflow. I do not have a crib for my child to separate her from the other children in the sleeping area or for my baby to sleep at. We all sleep together on the mattress. Yesterday we were moved to a new area. My sister somehow lost her shoes in the move. None of the officials seemed to notice. She was walking around in her bare feet on the hard pavement yesterday and today until I met with the florist lawyers who asked the officer for shoes for her. The officer said they did not have shoes but gave socks instead. We have only bathed once since being detained on June 4th. We were taken to an area with about 28 showers. We bathed and brushed our teeth. Since then, however, we have not been able to bathe. I have not been able to wash and clean my baby since June 4th. We do not have toothbrushes or toothpaste or towels in the cages for us. My daughter is very filthy at this point, and I have not been able to wash my child since June 4th. We all know what it's like in our own county jails. And these same type of things are being implemented on people who are immigrating here for their freedoms to experience this when they arrive here to our people. As a unified people, I ask that we all stand together as a human race, as an organism that we share in common, and that a commonality is love for one another when they come to a place for their freedom. This is very disgraceful as a country, and our politicians should be ashamed and be hiding their heads.
Okay, I'm gonna read another one. Thank you, everybody. This is a testimony that was reported in June of 2019 after attorneys visited Custom and Border Protection facilities. I'm gonna read a couple testimonies from children that are in these concentration camps. And that's exactly what they are, concentration camps. Just like the first Konzentrationslager in Germany that got built in 1920, by the way. Germany built its first concentration camps before the Nazi Party even existed. And later we know what happened when people didn't take a stand. to stop it. They threw Jews from Eastern Europe who were seeking asylum. Germany threw them into concentration camps to fast track their deportation. And there were horrible conditions that were exposed, just like what's going on now. This 16-year-old girl says, quote, "I'm hungry here at Clint all the time. I'm so hungry that I've woken up in the middle of the night with hunger. Sometimes I wake up from hunger at 4 a.m., sometimes at other hours. I'm too scared to ask the officials here for any food, even though here is not enough food for me." Quote, "They leave babies sleeping on the cold floor. Raising a child behind bars. I was given a blanket and a mattress, but then at 3 a.m. the guards took the blanket and mattress." Now, this is from a 17-year-old girl, perhaps. "My baby was left sleeping on the floor. In fact, almost every night, the guards wake us up at 3 a.m. and take away our sleeping mattresses and blankets. They leave babies of 2 or 3 months sleeping on the cold floor. 2 or 3 month old babies are left by Customs and Border Patrol, by ICE, by Homeland Security, by this fascist regime, sleeping on the cold floor." So they're saying that these adolescent children have to be the ones taking care of these infants. Think about that. Quote, "For me, because I am pregnant, sleeping on the floor is very painful for my back and hips. I think the guards act this way to punish us."
These types of things are not uncommon here in our own jails, and I'm sure everybody recognizes that. Here is the account of a young man named Chris. "I am a mindful as well as I sit here today, a young man named Chris, a lawful permanent resident of the United States who has lived here since he was 13. It's written kind of gang-related offenses that formed the bias of immigration case against him. These offenses stemmed from struggles with the addiction he has dealt with since childhood. When he bore primary responsibility for the care of his mother, she who was paralyzed, from the neck down, Chris's time in immigration detention went unlike his criminal sentence, has no set end date, has served to destabilize his family and disrupt his own recovery. We have to ask, toward what end does this stop for all of us? Chris is one in nearly 500,000 people held by ICE this fiscal year in a detention system that is comprised of more than 200 county jails and private prisons that contract with ICE for profit. The Trump administration would have us believe that the only way to manage immigration processing is by locking up those going through the process. But it hasn't always been this way, and it doesn't not need to be this way. There are alternatives, smarter and cheaper and kinder alternatives, humanitarian alternatives. The immigration detention system, as we know it today, constitutes a relatively new experiment in American history. In the mid-1950s, in fact, the United States government intentionally rejected the institutional use of detention for migration processing. And this move was widely heralded as a marker of forward progress. Progress, everyone. This forward progress halted in the 1980s, however, when the then Immigration and Naturalization Service adopted a policy of mass detention of arriving Haitian refugees and explicitly named as its goal to deterrence of future refugees, putting the United States in violation of its international and domestic legal obligations. Yet the system took root, and through it, the 1980s and 90s, the same political winds contributing to the mass incarceration of communities of color in the United States fueled the expansion of the immigration detention system into for-profit prisons and county jails with multiple shares. The Trump administration's commitment to expanding this already bloated system was singled from nearly one day. The White House proposed budget for the fiscal year 2018 sought $2.7 billion to ramp up detention capacity to 51,379 people daily, a number they have already surpassed. This astonishing growth has been achieved in direct violation of congressional intent through the transfer of reprogramming of funds across agencies and largely driven by for-profit prison industry. Our lives are being put into industry, and we are feeding this beast even as citizens of the United States.
All right, this is the Michael Slate Show, and we have been listening to activists reading statements from refugees being held in ICE concentration camps on the U.S. southern border. And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. What good is love and peace on earth when it's exclusive? Where's the truth in the written word? If no one reads it, a new day dawning comes without. Troubled times. We live in troubled times. What part of history we learn when it's repeated? Some things will never overcome. If we don't seek it, the world stops turning. Paradise burning. So don't think twice. We live in troubled times. We live in troubled times.